Mine's on time?
Yes.
Mine was like a second behind, as always.
All right.
All right, let's do this. This week's episode is brought to you by Masterful and... Damn it, let's do that again.
Shit!
This week's episode is brought to you by my masterful and perfect, flawless impressions. Get to the chopper!
Marlon Brando!
Welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CultureHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Oh, my God!
This is the first episode of our, as we said last week, if you listened, thank you if you did.
Sup.
We're going to do, each week, there's going to be like one, so there's 4 weeks in a month, if you don't know. And each week, we're going to do a different type of thing, so we'll have four different types of episodes. So this is the second one. This is Kevin's vinyl collection, where every week we'll talk about a vinyl that Kevin owns, or sometimes it'll just be an album that we really like and want to talk about that he doesn't have on vinyl yet. Because
and then I'll probably purchase it at that moment because I need to have it.
Yeah, because so spoilers for two future episodes. I was listening to obviously Front Row Seat by Josh Abbott is one that we're gonna have
great
to do
album.
That album is amazing.
Yep.
And then I've been listening to a lot of Ira Wolf recently.
Ooh,
so
I would love to have her album on vinyl, and I might just buy that right now.
Yeah, because it's fantastic. So we're definitely going to have to do one on that. So we're going to do that. So this week we're going to talk about John Moreland's Big Bad Love, because we haven't talked about John Moreland in, I think that episode came out in June of 2017. So it's been a hot minute since that episode came out.
And so we hadn't seen him live yet, or had you seen him live?
No, because in the episode, I actually listened to it to get ready. It's just so I could remember what the hell we said about it. And we were talking about how we were going to Codfish Hollow to see him, like, in a week. So we had just, because I was thinking about that, because you were echoey still, because you were still in your apartment. And I was not, because I was here back at home, because, as I said in the episode, it was very shortly after I had broken up with someone. And so we were talking about how excited we were to do that, and I was like, that's also the same week that you closed on your house.
Yeah, I was going to say that
you
I got my offer accepted is the words that we're looking for. And you're also frozen now, which is perfect timing, because we weren't frozen before, and now we are. God damn it. Fuck you, Bobby.
Am I frozen still?
No, you're not frozen anymore. I just kept ranting until you weren't. But I was going to say, the reason I knew that when you said we talked about we hadn't seen him yet, I was like, oh, that means I was definitely at my old place, because I hadn't closed on my house yet, because that day was a great day. Like you were just saying, I had just a wonderful Saturday, the Saturday that I had the offer on the house that I currently live in accepted, and then we went to Codfish Hollow, which is, like we've talked about in the past, a barn in Maquoketa, Iowa, but it's the coolest venue.
Probably my favorite venue,
It's the coolest venue to see anyone. And then John Moreland is just tremendous, one of the best people to see just in general. And so to have all that stacked up in the same day, I had quite a Saturday that day.
Yeah. And it was really funny, because listening to the episode, we're like, you're like, oh, we're going to this place called Codfish, you know, Hollow. And I was just like, oh, this place sounds really fun. And then, obviously, I love it. But
what a place.
But before we get into the album, there was one thing when we talked about the masterpiece that is known as Old Town Road last week, I was just like, right when we got done recording, I was thinking, I was like, fuck, we haven't done a dramatic reading in a while.
No, we have not, sir.
And I figure, because usually for those who are longtime listeners, I mean,
first time, long time
is, first time, long time, first time, long dong.
How long, Johnson?
Every once in a while we'll do a dramatic reading of a song where it's like one of those pop country songs where not only is it just a bad song, the lyrics are so atrocious that were like, how can anyone consider this?
Yes. Because they're just straight up nonsensical. Like, to bring it back full circle, the because wasn't Parmalee's Hot Dama Llama, Llama, Llama,
yeah,
Llama?
Hot Llama Dama.
That
whatever.
Was the first one. The song is so stupidly written that, yeah. Like you were talking about here with this dramatic reading, that the lyrics are so nonsensical and stupid that when you really look at them, it's like, wait a second. Someone legitimately, like, put this through how many layers of a Nashville recording, you know, business, and they're like, yes, this is the song that needs to be recorded and pushed out as a single.
Yeah. Because then there are times when we're like, oh, we could do this for a dramatic reading, but then we read the lyrics and we're like, I mean, the lyrics really aren't that bad.
Like, they can be stupid and simple, but like,
yeah,
there's something special for the dramatic reading bad.
Yeah, exactly. So when we got done talking about this song, like, I've only heard the song like once all the way through, and I've heard little bits and pieces of it here and there because it's obviously a huge internet meme.
Oh,
now.
I have only heard it at least 45 times, so no clue what you're talking about.
Because we know you love it. But yeah, so
it's
we figured
my
this
favorite.
This is a perfect candidate for. I don't know how much the song I want to read, because I definitely want to get to the second verse because it's so bad. So I don't know if I should just start from the second verse.
You could start from the chorus and then go into the second verse, and I guarantee most people will have no idea when the chorus started or when the verses started.
I'm just going to do... I'm going to start from the I Got Horses in the Back or whatever, and then do the two verses because, you know.
Yeah.
So here it is. A dramatic reading of Lil, was it Nas X? Lil Nas X,
bro. Put some Lil respect Nas on his name.
Lil Nas X's Old Town Road. I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. Got the boots that's black to match. Riding on a horse, huh? You can whip your Porsche.
Huh?
I've been in the valley. You ain't been up on that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Riding on a tractor. Lean all in my bladder. Cheated on my baby. You can go ask her. My life is a movie. Bull riding and boobies. Cowboy hat from Gucci. Wrangler on my booty. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
I dare you to tell me something.
Oh my god. Like, I guess that's why he's a... Isn't he a SoundCloud rapper and someone just heard this song once?
Yeah, I can't remember
like
what the whole story was, but I know that that's what happened, is that it blew up. I want to say it was like Justin Bieber shared it on his Instagram or some shit like that, where it was like this SoundCloud link or a YouTube or whatever. And so it went from like nothing to like millions and millions of streams, like literally overnight. But then I know that like Texas Tech, they kept playing it every time they won a game in the tournament in their locker room. And so like, it just kept fucking going. It just went forever. And that's why like, I legitimately don't, like, I don't have absolute disdain for this the way that I do, like, a Sam Hunt song or, like, Meant to Be or all these other things, because I legitimately kind of think that this guy was just, like, he made this fun, stupid song, and then it just blew up. And then the fact that it was on the charts and then taken off the charts, like, I don't know what his stance is on music and all that shit. But I don't really blame him. I think it's kind of hilarious. But... hearing you say the words that are in the song, I'm just like, God, this is so stupid.
The thing is that it was obviously a joke song, and then once the SJWs got the grasp of it, being like, well, it's racist that you say this isn't country, that's when the song just like tipped over for me. Or it's just like
that part really does bug me, because it's just dumb. There are plenty of African-Americans who make really good music, who try to make country music, and they don't get the benefit of the doubt the way that this song, because it's a viral sensation, is. And people can be like, well, the exposure and whatever. It's like, I don't really give a shit. It's a rap song. We all know it's a rap song. Stop saying that it needs to be on the country charts. I mean, but not even as if I even give a shit about the country charts, because they're so fucking stupid anyway.
Yeah. I mean, because it's when people say, like, this is a country song, it's the same people who don't listen to country, like we said last week. And it would be like me if I went up to someone who was a die-hard heavy metal fan and be like, yeah, Metallica's the best, because I'm such a casual when it comes to heavy metal that me saying Metallica, they'd be like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, or if you're, like, a rap fan and, all, like, the only, I mean... Yes, Eminem is tremendous, and I love him. But if you were just like, Eminem is the only one who's ever made good rap in the last 20 years, they'd just be like, okay, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
Frozen right. face. God damn it.
You're a frozen face, bitch.
Scary face.
Scary face. What did you do to the commissioner? But yeah, so this week we're going to bust out Kevin's vinyl... Big Bad Love, because we love John Moreland, and everyone should be listening to John Moreland. And why aren't you listening to John Moreland?
Listen! Damn it!
So we're going to talk about... We're not doing our top 10, because, I mean, the thing's only 11 songs, and...
That'd be stupid, yeah.
Yeah, so we're just going to go through the track listing, kind of talk about each song. If it's one we don't know too much, then obviously we won't talk too much about it, but we're going to have the clip of each song, and we'll say, like... Because this is one of those albums... Because I'm sure we'll do an album where it's just like, I'm not a fan of this one song. Like, when we do the masterpiece that is Brad Paisley's Wheelhouse, we're just going to have to talk about Accidental Racist and how amazing of a song that is.
Shocker, don't have that one on vinyl.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But, yeah, so we're going to talk about this album, which is all good songs because, well, it's John
Moreland. Well, John Moreland, yeah. John Moreland brings the heat every time. Speaking of him, I wonder if he's going to have a new album come out soon-ish.
Yeah, I don't know, because this is
2 years.
Years old, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're just around, because I think it happened early 17, so I think we are either at or past the 2-year mark.
Probably, yeah.
God damn it, John, I know you're listening. I know you're not listening, but I know you're listening. Please make me more albums.
He knows we exist, not.
He saw me in the crowd that one time and then that other time.
Yeah, right? When you got shushed.
Motherfucker.
But yeah, anyway, so let's just hop into the track, because I was actually going to do more research about this album before we did this, but I was so fucking busy at work today that I didn't have a second to do anything that wasn't work-related today. So, except pee. I did take a pee.
How dare you pee on company time?
Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime, that's why I poop on company time.
Beep.
But yeah, so anyway, the first track from John Moreland's Big Bad Love is Salisaw Blue.
Well, I don't own anything, you don't know shit. With your bloodshot eyes giving my black heart fits. There's a neon sign that says Big Bad Love. And the news hanging down from the heavens above.
Absolute just fucking brings the heat right off the bat. This song is such a jam. Like, the guitar riff is just, I mean, you just heard it because it was in the clip, but it's such a jam. I fucking love this song.
Yeah. This is one of the only ones that I actually got to look up and kind of research about before we started recording, but I just read that it was written about touring because he was just exhausted from touring all the time, and you can tell it's kind of like a... it's like a heartbreakish love song with the lyrics, mm-hmm. but he wrote it itself about touring. And I was the cool thing about it was it wasn't recorded with the rest of the album. Like, the rest of the album was recorded at some studio in Little Rock, or I think it was Little Rock. But this song was recorded at a bar that hadn't opened yet in Tulsa. They were just on stage at the bar in Tulsa, and they recorded it there. And
that's
so
awesome.
Says, like, he's like, a plumber was there working on something, so if you listen really carefully, you might be able to hear, like, the wrench and stuff in the background. I was like, that's actually really fucking cool that this was just a live-recorded song.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was really cool about it. But the rest of these songs, I didn't have any time to research, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, very similar to the first John Moreland episode, where it's just like, I know this song's fucking great, but there's so many lines that are really great, and he's really deep, and my brain isn't working.
When I listened to that podcast again to get ready for this one, there was a whole lot of times when we're like, I don't know.
We're just going to move on really quick this time instead of openly admitting, I got no idea.
Yeah. So next is John Moreland's Old Wounds.
I've seen my seasons change. I was crying out your name. Remember when we used to feel so good? Oh, don't forget to love me in depression. For the if we don't bleed, it don't feel like a song.
I don't know why I said his name, because obviously every song is John Moreland.
Surprisingly, after leading off his own album, he followed it up with a song by himself. It really broke the mold there, and I have massive respect for him committing to making the album his album.
To be fair, I thought this album was a kids' bop album, so I thought children were singing the song, but it's not.
And you're like, God damn it, this like 12-year-old kid's voice sounds like he's been through some shit. This kid was
this
in
Nam,
man.
This child sounds like a 400-pound man.
Why are you so sad, child?
Oh my God, it's always so weird when you hear like the kids bops that come out nowadays, because the songs are so lewd that are like popular rap songs that you hear like a child singing like Mr. Steal Your Girl and all this. It's like, you are 10.
Oh, I could not imagine like if they put like a Cardi B song on that.
Oh my God.
Speaking of
which.
They
will. You know they will.
I don't even want to get into it, but fucking God damn it. Fucking hate what, Cardi B so much.
Oh, I know. She's the worst. She's genuinely, like, the worst human being on this planet. Behind.
The worst? Ever?
Yes. Stalin has nothing on her.
All right, but sorry. All right, back to Old Wounds. Fucking love this song. It's great. We were discussing it very briefly before we started recording how the idea about opening up old wounds, you know, about going back into a relationship that isn't necessarily good for you kind of thing. But it's just another one. Like, I honestly think that with this whole album, part of the reason why I really wanted to get it on vinyl was because there's so many songs that just sound tremendous. Obviously, he's a great songwriter. Obviously, all of his songs are written well on top of being performed well. But the sound that he gets on all of these songs, I just think it's perfect. And this is, you know, we're starting it off with the vinyl thing. This is the one that you put on. Before you know it, you've got to flip it to the second side. And before you know it, you're through it. And you're like, God damn, that was a great album.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the lyric in this song, too. We forgot to say in the last song, the song, I Don't Own Anything, You Don't Know Shit. I love that.
Great lyric, line.
This one, I love just in the chorus where it's so don't you forget to love me in damnation for the living I have earned on love gone wrong. It's like, that's why is this man so good at writing music?
He writes, like, he like has him in like every song too, which is the part that's crazy. I honestly think that like it's him and Isbell in terms of every song that you listen to, he'll find a line at least that just punches you right in the gut when you hear it. And you're like, fuck! Man, like it's a goddamn Tuesday. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, the actually on Moreland episode, we said how we were always we couldn't decide between Isbell and Moreland of the best lyricists out there.
They're so good.
That does make sense.
I love them so much.
Yes. You got anything else on this one?
No. Jam. Love it.
Alright.
And I would pull up things, but I'm using my phone to FaceTime you so that we don't have the AIDS internet. And I feel really weird not being able to look things up. Yeah. So I'm just going to start talking about the colors of my walls if you don't keep it moving.
Well, after you spread your poop all over them, they were brown. Next song, it's a song by a guy named John Moreland. Every Kind of Wrong. This one I don't know that well, but it's just like a song about just a guy who's, I mean, it's really the same with all of his songs where he just talks about how he's not really good enough in that kind of sense of things. So like he has the lyric of "You've been falling short of gold and I've been every kind of wrong." That's like the lyric. So it's just another one of those songs of
"You're not like, great, but I'm also not great."
Yeah. My wife is out of my league and I'm fat. That was me, not him talking. About but yeah, so this one is one that, like I said, I don't know too well because I don't have it on vinyl, so I don't go start to finish. It just kind of songs come on every once in a while. So,
it's good though. Next, I know that. Yes,
you're good though.
How bitch. Dare you?
Next song is a song by a guy named John Moreland.
Shocker.
Love Is Not an Answer.
This song is great. Because the whole idea, like, I mean, obviously he could have mean, you could mean any sort of number of things and I could be completely wrong about it. But that whole idea, like, I don't know if anyone else listening has been in a relationship that's going not in the best direction. And then the "I love you" line that you say to your significant other just loses meaning, loses meaning, loses meaning. And so I attach my feelings of that to this song where he's just like, "Love is not an answer. I don't need an answer. I need you." Where he's just like, you can say that you love me, but that does not mean shit unless you're actually there. And I think that is awesome in terms of being able to capture it on a song. Again, he could mean something completely different and I'm all over the fucking place, but that is how I feel about it. And I think it's unbelievable because it's such a, like, it transports me mentally right back to that spot and that feeling. And that is what makes music great, which really brings it all the way back to "Sad Songs Are the Best Songs." Fuck you for liking fat and happy songs.
Yeah. Yeah, the well, because there is the lyric in here, so I think you're dead on, because there's the lyric, "I used to say I love you, then wonder who I'm talking to."
Mm.
Like, yeah. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, but just that, it's just fucking deep, bro. Deep! Almost as deep as "I've got the horses in the back."
But yeah, next song is a song by this dude, John Moreland.
More John
Lies Moreland. Lies I Chose to Believe.
Oh, this is another fucking great song. I mean, I would really love it, like, if we had a bunch of overly dedicated fans who would listen to all of our episodes and then counted how many times you said a song title. I'm just like, fucking love that song, because I feel like it's a lot. But very similar to the last song, my brain just broke. Sorry. My brain broke. I got nothing. What song are we talking about? Tell me the song we're talking about.
Lies I Chose to Believe.
That's it! I immediately went back to the previous song, and I'm just like, wait, this isn't the song we're talking about. Okay, yeah. Lies I Chose to Believe. Similar kind of feel, where the relationship starts going down a bad path, and instead of, like, you know, love is not an answer, where you're just, like, searching for something, and they're not reciprocating as it goes down, this is the, like, you know, you realized that it was going down the shitter, but you just, like, tried to tell yourself it wasn't. So the lies you chose to believe is, like, I knew it, that it was shit, and it was bad, but I chose to believe it because I couldn't let myself see the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to add to it.
Words.
I do love this song. I think this was on my top 10 when we did the original one, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but next one is, what track are we on? That would be track number 6, is a song by a guy named John Moreland. Is a song called Amen, So Be It.
So your heart's not a souvenir, singing from behind a sad veneer. And David, is you lose your calling card? When they brought the gavel down so hard, well, it takes a long time to get it back. The bread you made and the breath you lack. Amen, so be it. Amen, so be it. Amen, so be it. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I don't honestly know what the song's about. I just think it's awesome. It's just got that jamming back and forth where he just keeps saying, "Hey, man, so be it." Which to he's like stamping finality upon something, but having not jammed through it in a little bit, can't go further than that.
It's pretty much like, I don't know the exact story, but you can tell the gist of it just from the line, Amen, so be it, where it's just like, it's over, so be it.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing where it's just like, whereas obviously Amen is usually just like a, yes, Amen, I agree. It's Amen, yeah, so be it.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of shrugging it off in that kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, that whole part where it's just, Amen. So be it. Like, that part's just a jam session type thing, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Next up, track number 7 is a song by a dude named John Moreland, who's a really talented guy, called No Glory and Regret.
So bless our busted hearts, just sinking into the dark. Mourning these wasted old sparks that all disappear. I never meant to be your woe is me emergency, but I ain't dead yet, and I know there ain't no glory in regret.
It's just a really deep line
where he says, I'm in the deep side of the pool. It's very deep.
I'm just like, wow, if I take another step further, I will be underwater.
Just a song about, pretty much beating a dead horse talking about John Moreland songs, because they're all on the same fucking thing, where it's like, him not kind of being worthy enough, and he says, like, if there's no glory in regret, like, regretting life isn't a worthy thing to be doing. Where, like, he has the lyric, I never meant to be your woe is me emergency, but I ain't dead yet, and I know there ain't no glory in regret. Like,
yeah, because I kind of feel like he's getting at this, you know, if you don't ever put yourself out there and go for things, you know, There's no glory in regretting all the could have beens and the whatevers. Just like fucking do it and live your life.
Yeah, and then because the last line or the last two lines ish or the song are with my pride thumbing for a ride and somehow I ended up next to you. So it's like he didn't succumb to his like doubts and he went through with it. And,
yes.
Yeah. Next. I don't know this one too well. Number 8 of the tracks from the album Big Bad Love by a guy named John Moreland is the song Ain't We Gold.
Straight up forgot about this one. Sorry, bros. Next.
Let me look it up super quick because, yes, I completely forgot about this one as well.
Yeah, like the words you just said didn't mean anything to me. And so, and the fact that I can't look it up because I don't have a device to do so. You know what I should have fucking done is I should have had the album in my hand. It's upstairs.
Yeah, you do actually have
the album. You shut your face. I guarantee it's got a lyric sleeve. Fuck, I'm an idiot. I'm pretty sure it's got a sleeve of all the lyrics, and I'm just fucking not looking at it right now. Not even shitting you.
The chorus is, but ain't we gold, ain't we blue, ain't life hard, ain't love true, baby it's a good thing, baby it's a good thing, baby it's a good thing, I got you, if that helps you at all.
Steve, keep talking when I run upstairs and grab.
All right, my name is Steve Hodge. I am 6'2" and 28 years old. Wait, am I 28 years old? Yes, you were 27. Kevin, I'm looking at you like a crappy Cloverfield movie where I'm just watching your face running through your house right now. I'm so startled. I'm so startled. filling time. Filling time.
Holy shit, people. Would you look at that? I have an album.
I was thinking today, I was watching, or I wasn't watching, I just had it on in the background. Chris D'Elia's podcast, congratulations, and he has like a desk that he sits at, and I was like, if we still live together, we could have a camera and sit at a desk talking and actually put up a video podcast, and that'd be really cool. But yeah, we're on Ain't We Gold.
Yes. Okay, yeah, so, okay, I'm just gonna block your vision of me because I don't give a shit. But yeah. I like this line in the chorus, which you might have already said. But he says, you know, but ain't we gold? They said, ain't we blue? Ain't life hard? Ain't love true? Baby, it's a good thing. Baby, it's a good thing. Baby, it's a good thing I got you. This is kind of, in my mind, where he starts to, you know, like the whole deal about the album is supposed to not be a sad, you know, he said, I'm not the sad sack of whatever the fuck. You know, he's not sad, so his songs aren't as sad, even though he's got a lot of sadness on the album. This one, he's kind of,
What?
But he's like starting to take the turn on this one, you know, being happy. You know, we're not gold, you know, or ain't we actually? So we are gold. Oh, are we pretty good? But then we're also kind of sad.
Oh my God.
But love is true. Hey, it's just a nice little feeling there.
Yeah. Next song is a song by a guy named John Moreland, track number 9, Slow Down Easy.
Slow down easy, I've been hauling a heavy soul, but don't you know, honey, it's time. Slow down.
This one is another one that just, it sounds tremendous. I fucking love the way that it just, slow down easy. It's just good. But then, you know, the lines, slow down easy, I've been hauling a heavy soul. And don't you know, honey, it's time. Slow down easy, so much trouble, got a heavy toll. Take my hand, won't you be mine? So this idea of, you know, it's been hard so far, but let's just slow down, enjoy the moment, be together. It's just nice. Because I feel like this is his, you know, kind of a way of, you know, creating a love song, but still making it kind of hurt.
Yeah. What a surprise. John Moreland did that with the song.
No way.
Next up, track number 10, is a guy, John Moreland wrote this song. It's a song called It Don't Suit Me Like Before.
I'm still staring at the sky like at the star. With all these heavy anchors on my heart. But they don't suit me, babe, like before. They don't suit me like they did before. Always waving flags and waging war. But it don't suit me. It don't suit me like before. Well, folks like me and you, we don't know how to call the truth.
This one is good. Yeah.
Well, because this is like his happiest song on here, because it's like a, it's a very, because
he's kind of talking about those ways, you know, they're not me anymore. You know, I mean, he's got the, you know, they don't suit me, babe, like before. They don't suit me like they did before. But then always waving flags and waging wars, but it don't suit me like before. It's kind of, to me, I feel like he's saying this adversity and, you know, being all uppity about one thing or the other, he just doesn't give a shit because he's just kind of happier and he just, you know, he's in on his own thing at this point.
Well, yeah, because he has the lyric later in the song where it's, I used to have a prisoner's point of view, but now I only care for being seen by you. So it's just like a thing of, I used to be kind of this cynical, you know, worrying about all this crap that doesn't matter, but now all I care about is you.
Yeah, and it's got this kind of feel about like as if he was super in, like, you know, the narrator of the song is like super into like some sort of political belief. And then it's just kind of like over time realize it just ain't worth the fucking, you know, being so aggressive on the two ends anymore. Like he's got the, you know, well, folks like me and you, we don't know how to call a truce. And when we can't lose the fight, we just lose touch. So we sit comparing scars, strobing on the stars and leaning on the oldest, closest crutch. So it's just like this, you know, you've wasted so much of your time being adversarial about this thing. And yeah. What did it get you? Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. And then finally, last track on this album, number 11, song by a guy named John Moreland, Latchkey Kid.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue what this song's about. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
It's about a kid whose parents work a lot, so he just goes out and does what he wants.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yes. And to me, it seems like he's referring to some, like he's wrote this song about some person that he knew. But I have no fucking clue what he's talking about.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those where it's just like,
like it sounds really cool, and it, like I really like the way he uses imagery and whatnot. You know, so here I stand right before you, waiting for my turn to toe the line. Don't let me die in California while I'm dragging all these rivers in my mind. What the fuck are you talking about, man? It sounds cool. And I love this song. And it's like a nice slow like close out to the album, which is really why I like it. But also, sorry, bro, got no idea.
Yep. But yeah, so this is the album you should be listening to.
And also, hooray for me, realizing that since these are albums I own, I can just grab the fucking lyric sheet out of each album, stare at the lyrics when we're doing this, instead of waiting for half of the goddamn album to do it.
Yeah.
Go me. The rust continues into episode 2.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is blah, 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 blah. All right. Anyway, the album. Listen to John Moreland. We may do In the Throes and High on Tulsa Heat at some point. But,
yeah, so funny story about that. I was supposed to have In the Throes as an album on a vinyl, but when I purchased it from Amazon, they just sent me the wrong album. They sent me a Booker T and the MGs album, but I really liked it, so I just kept it and decided I'll buy John Moreland's again and get that sent to me. I just really liked Booker T and the MGs album, so I don't care.
There you go.
it's like a no singing like blues album, so it sounds really cool, and I'm like I want to keep it, so I did.
So that's the album. Listen to it. John Moreland's great. Next up is our new segment that we introduced last week that we will do weekly. We wanted to, since we like talking today about how the radio sucks ass now and there's nothing to listen to on the radio because the radio sucks ass now, we decided that we're going to do a segment about songs that were good on the radio, but in previous years. So this was our new segment, the number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year is terrible.
Exactly.
This week is a song that went number one this week in 1993, which is Reba McEntire and Vince Gill's The Heart Won't Lie.
Try and live your life from day to day. The heart won't lie. Sometimes life gets in the way, but there's one.
I remember, this isn't about this song per se, but like a couple of years ago, we were watching one of the country music award things. It was just on TV. Mm-hmm. And I was watching with Chris, and they gave a lifetime achievement award or something like that to Vince Gill. And he's on stage doing his acceptance speech, and I turned to Chris. I was just like, I bet no one even knows who he is. And he goes, I have no idea.
But the thing about Vince Gill, I feel like, is that his ability as like a instrumentalist is so impressive that I really feel like that needs to get like he like obviously I love his songs with him singing and all that, but him as a guitar player and an instrumentalist, he's next level. Yeah. And I think that that really needs to be taught. Like, he should be getting like how Mac McAnally wins all the fucking awards for instrumentalist. Yeah. Vince Gill should be that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, this song itself is, it's just one, it's a story you've heard a million times in country songs where it's, you see your ex at a place and your heart won't lie to you. Mm-hmm. And you know how you feel, and it's that thing, which yeah. We don't have to go too deep
but
into.
It also has the quintessential 90s country, like the beep, 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 then wham into the chorus.
Yeah, it 90s country sounds very 90s country when you hear it.
But it's great.
And
I love
the
it.
Best thing, we were listening to it before we started the recording, and I had the YouTube video up, and it was just a really dumb music video about, like, Reba's in the Navy, and she's going through boot camp, and Vince Gill is her drill sergeant, and it's just like, what the fuck?
Which
is
hilarious
happening?
To think about, like, his really, like, soft voice singing, and just like, yeah, yeah, that's the guy yelling at her? Also, yeah. What?
Be funny if he sang and he sounded like Arlie Ermey.
I will unscrew your head and shit down your neck. Country.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's the album, the number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. Because
this year is terrible.
Albums that came out last week, if you want, you can find on Spotify. I have a playlist called This Month in Country. It's every Friday I add the new albums that you should be listening to, and it'll so you'll have a whole week long or month long of all the albums that came out. And then we'll do something about that in the future, which you'll find out about later. But the albums that came out last week that were really good is Taylor Alexander's Good Old Fashioned Pain. It's really good. He's very attractive. I think Saving Country Music did a review of it, so if you want to read it, it's really fucking good. And it's not the Taylor Alexander that was on The Voice. Don't get confused and go on Spotify and look up Taylor Alexander and listen to that dude, because that guy I don't care about.
I didn't even know that was a human.
I didn't know either until I went to Spotify to look up this album, and I went to The Voice guy, and I was like, the album, I can't find the album, because it was a different Taylor Alexander. But then next up is Aaron Lewis's The State I'm In, or just State I'm In. This one
really like the sound of it, but there's some songs that I think are really stupid. Like the God and Gun song, really stupid. But the sound, sonically, stone cold fucking country album. Flat out country album.
That album though, what are the songs? Oh, the song
There's
Love
a couple.
Me.
There's a couple
that
are really
is,
good.
Love Me is so good.
Can you list off a couple other songs since I can't look it up right now so I can tell you the other one that I really fucking like?
Reconsider.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
That one's really great. And then Burnt the Sawmill Down. I think that's actually a Keith.
Yes,
Ritter
I
song?
Saw that. I didn't know that until I saw someone on the internet tell me this. Yeah. But that's awesome, because Keith Whitley's fucking great. Speaking of Keith, I should get a Keith Whitley record. God damn.
You should.
Whitley's fucking awesome.
Yeah. The one that we really enjoyed that was at the Windy City Smokeout was It Keeps On Working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still an entertaining song, but I still think That Ain't Country is better. That's like a protest song.
And it's kind of annoying, the fact, and I completely understand the criticism of those to be like, he's just doing the same fucking kind of songs over and over again. I'm like, yeah, he is, but it's different and it's good and I like it, so fuck you. But yes,
and
it is the same kind of song.
Like, I do love the lyric in It Keeps On Working where he's like, we're singing the same old songs, wearing his sister's jeans or whatever like that. That line does make me laugh, but it is annoying because he kind of, How I think of it is he overcorrects when he's doing these songs because he just goes like, I remember back when they sang about trucks on the radio. It's like, no, they still sing about trucks, and those songs are terrible. So yeah. Don't use that as your base point of why these songs are bad.
Exactly, because he honestly seems to me like he's making, you know, he makes albums that always have a couple of these songs, like Reconsider, and then I already fucking forgot the other one that you said. Yes, that are like straight up amazing. Because I remember the B-side of his last album, which I can't remember the name of the album for some reason.
Sinner.
Yes, Sinner. I loved the fucking, the back half of that album. I thought it was so good. Great. And that's one of those where, like, he has these songs that are, like, the jump out at you as, like, overly stupid country songs. And then he has these really, like, heartfelt, well-written songs. And I'm just
He's got Mama, God I Lost damn. It All.
Oh, my God. Mama is one of my favorite songs of, like, any album in the last several years. I love that song. And I'm such a homer for Stained. I love everything he's ever done. But that is beside the point.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that Aaron Lewis is, like, I think it was Trigger said it in his review, where he's just like, you can love him or hate him, but this is a country album. It's like, that's true.
It's a stone-cold country album. Sonically, if you just didn't listen to any of the words of the stupid songs, like the God and Gun song, you're like, this is a country song. This is what a country song sounds like. This is a country song.
Yeah, exactly. The next up is Sarah Evans, the Barker Family Band. It's I like that Sarah Evans, I think she was in the news. I remember when we were already doing this podcast, she was in like the news or whatever because she was criticizing country, saying like, I don't like what it's turned into. And it's true. And you can tell on this album that she does, because this album is really good.
Like how Reba did it on hers, where she's just like, I will make a country record because I know what country is. And they're like, look, she made a country record. She knows what country is.
And then, because I think the Barker Family Band, I think that's, like, an actual band. Because I think in most of her songs, she features, like, Olivia Barker or something like that. And I think they're, like, a bluegrass band. So it has that feeling in a lot of songs.
Okay.
But, yeah, I only listened to it briefly when it came out, so I don't know too well. But then next up is, it's very good. She's very attractive.
Very good, very good.
The next up is Melissa Etheridge, The Medicine Show. It's also very good, very attractive. It's one I didn't get to listen to too much. And then lastly, but not leastly, is Son of Cloud, self-titled album. The only reason I heard of this one is they're a very small band, but I get those news things every Friday on the email. Like, we're on news lists that please talk about this. And then occasionally we get the fucking Average Joe's ones where it's like, talk about country rap. And we're like, no,
you
will never
get fucked.
Yeah, I will. Average Joe's is the ones who sent us the Montgomery Gentry and the Sister Hazel albums back in the day. So I appreciate them for that. But I will never talk about Colt Ford and Bubba Sparks and shit.
However, since your takeover of Globo Gym, you've gone downhill.
We play dodgeball. But yeah, so that's it for this week. You can find us at countryhodgepodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at countryhodgepodge, Spotify. You can do Hodgepodgecast Picks, where every week we upload the songs we talk about. So I'll be throwing this album up on that playlist. Every Monday, if Kevin remembers, which I don't think he remembered this week.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row. Fuck me.
Kevin's picks of the week every week. If you remember, he puts 10 songs you should be listening to on it. You can find him on, we tweeted out, or else you can find him on Spotify at the username Donkey Factory, one word. This month in country, as I said before, is the one that monthly will be changing up. It'll have that month's albums that came out, and boom, you can listen to them. You can get one of our dumb shirts on a site on the website TeePublic. Just search Country Hodgepodge, or my username on there is Clifftron, one word, if you want to just find it that way. A bunch of awesome shirts to buy, like Who Is Sober Enough to Take Me to Taco Bell. Great one. You should get that one as a fucking tank for the summer.
I should get that one as a tattoo.
You can find Kevin on Twitter at CHP_Trarch. My Instagram is private, so don't even bother trying to find it. Rate and review the podcast on iTunes, please. It'll help us get found. People are very kind to us, and occasionally people call us amateurish or sexist, and, you know, it's awesome.
And they're both true.
It's true. It's very true. Women are lesser. That's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
I got the horses in the back.